Darkness Walks, the Shadow People Among Us, now on A View from the Bunker. Our guest has been with us on PID Radio several times in the past, and we're happy that he can join us again to talk about his new book. He's the author of Haunted Missouri, A Ghostly Guide to the Show Me State's Most Spirited Spots, and his new book, very intriguing, called Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us. Jason Offutt, welcome back to the bunker.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you're having me on again.
Well, it's always interesting when we have the opportunity to talk, because we share an interest in the paranormal, and you have been out there chronicling the encounters of people with the paranormal for quite some time now at your blog, which we'll put a link to in the show notes, at From the Shadows, and also in the books that you put out there. The most recent book now, Darkness Walks, the new one, The Shadow People Among Us. If I remember from previous conversations, this is based on your personal experiences, or at least inspired by?
Right. The interest in shadow people is based on a personal experience. A number of them I had when I was a child. That really, really spurred my interest in this. Now, this was the mid-70s when I first encountered these entities, and nobody, nobody really knew them by that name, and people really didn't, as far as I knew, and didn't talk about things like that. They were all categorized as ghosts, but even as an 8-19-year-old kid, I categorized them as shadow people. That's what I called them in my head. I didn't really talk to them or talk to people about them because, yeah, you kind of keep quiet about those those things sometimes. But yeah, I was. Like I said, I was either 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there. We lived out in the middle of nowhere. I grew up on a farm, and we kept the blinds open all the time because, it's kind of hard to keep Tom out in the middle of the country. so on a moonlit night, my room was well lit. It was gray, but I could see everything in my room, my desk, my dresser, my Farrah Fawcett poster, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything. I could see everything in the dark. And there was one corner of my room where one night I noticed something moving, and I watched, and it was a man from what I could determine at that point. And I was terrified, and I watched this thing walk through, from that corner through my room past my bed. My bed was right next to the door, so it passed within a couple of feet of me, and it might have just been a child's child's eye seeing this, but to me it was huge, like 7 feet tall, something like that. But it was blacker than the night around it, much blacker. It looked like a hole punch. That kind of distinction. And it walked right by me and into the hallway, screaming for my parents. My dad came in and, of course, turned on the light, and nothing was there. But the thing wouldn't have been there because it wasn't lingering in my room. It was walking through my room like it was going somewhere. And I saw those not really every night, but I can't really put a number on how many times I saw it, but it would be a couple of nights a week. Maybe a month would go by, I wouldn't see one. Then later it'd be 2 months, then I'd see one every night for a couple of weeks. And it wasn't just one. Sometimes it was one, sometimes it was a line of 10 of these things just walking through my room. And fortunately, they didn't pay any attention to me whatsoever, which I'm completely grateful for. But it was those experiences that made me interested in this topic.
Now, you say they didn't pay any attention to you. I take it in the book here, in which you relate the encounters many people have had with these shadow people, that that's not always the case. Sometimes these shadow people do interact with the people who see them?
Right. The most common ones that I've found, in the research I did for my book, I've got 100 or more firsthand accounts of encounters with shadow people. Most of them are what I call benign shadows. Benign is just because they don't notice you. Mm-hmm. That's the more common one. But there are a lot of cases where these entities will notice a person, not just notice, but when the person notices the shadow person entity, it's focused on them, it's fixated on them. it dredges a feeling of terror out of them that is so intense that the people experiencing these entities feel that it's feeding off that fear they're generating. So yeah, those types are common too, and thankfully that's not the one I saw.
Not in your case. How long did you see these things? I mean, until what age?
I was probably 10 years old is when I stopped seeing them. Maybe 11, but I wouldn't go any farther than that. It was it was about that age.
Was there some change in your life that led to this thing stopping? I mean, did you guys move, or what do you think the reason is? Why did you stop seeing them?
I have absolutely no idea. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do the book, is I wanted to do some research to find out about these things, to find out maybe what these things are and why they were behaving the way they were and why they came to visit me. So I don't know. No, there wasn't any big change in my life. We moved into the house where I lived when I was 6 years old, and I lived there until I moved out after graduating from college. Hmm. I hadn't hit puberty until a couple of years after I stopped seeing these things. So there was no major issue going on when I saw these things, when I started to see them or when I stopped.
Now, when did you realize that you weren't the only one who saw these things or who had seen these things?
It wasn't until the mid-90s. It wasn't until the mid-90s when this thing started to become a buzzword on late night paranormal programs, and when they started to get kind of hot on the internet, is when I realized, hey, I'm not alone here. Other people have seen these things too, but it wasn't until, of course, the last year and a half that I really took it on myself to write this book, and again, like I said, try to explain what they are. What I came up with was a lot more explanations and questions, but I think it really helped me determine, at least for myself, what these shadow entities mainly are.
Do these categories fall in, or do these entities manifest themselves in the same way to everybody?
No, and let me say about these entities is when people are talking about shadow people, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found is shadow people aren't just one thing. They're probably a number of different types of entities, but they just have a couple of characteristics that are the same, and people group them all into the term shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
The major characteristics that fits the shadow people a persona is blacker than night, a human-shaped shadow. Sometimes it's two-dimensional. A lot of times it's two-dimensional. One person I interviewed said the one she saw looked like one of those it looked like a peel-off sticker coming off of the wall. But one of the other main ones is it's not exactly shaped like a human. It's close, but not quite. I mean, it could be, I mean, like I said, mine, I thought were 7 feet tall. The arms are usually longer than a human's, or the legs might be longer, or the head might be bigger or smaller. And the gait is not quite human-like. Something is a little bit different about these entities, that it's not an exact representation of a human shape. But those are the elements that group all of these different types of entities together as shadow people.
I use the word entity, and that maybe is a presumption on my part that these are, entities, beings of some sort. In your book, you explore a number of possible, you explore the question of what these things really are. I come up with a number of possibilities. Is it possible that these things aren't entities at all, that this is just some sort of, natural phenomenon?
Yes, absolutely, and I probably shouldn't have used that term entity as an all-encompassing thing, because a lot of these cases, even though, I talk to these people, I've gotten, all these were first-hand accounts. These people who encountered shadow people were positive they saw what they saw and felt what they felt and experienced what they experienced. But I also made sure to try, in my attempt to explore what these things are, to talk to experts, to physicists, to psychologists, chemists, you know, people in the scientific field. And there are tons of cases where absolutely these things are probably something natural. Sleep paralysis is a big one. We've got all sorts of crazy, fun, whacked out chemicals running mm-hmm. through our head. And when we sleep, a couple of them, one of them paralyzes us, basically, so we don't thrash around in our bed all night with involuntary muscle movement. And when we wake up prematurely, a lot of times people who experience things like this can't move because they're paralyzed, you know, by their own mm-hmm. Neurochemicals. But they're still kind of in a dream state, so they see things. They'll see shadow people. They'll see people they know. They'll see dead relatives.
Mm-hmm.
They'll hear them talk. They'll think they talk to them. So a lot of cases, very well could be sleep paralysis. There was one interesting case. A Swedish neurochemist was investigating or doing a study on epilepsy. And this subject he had her wired to electricity. And when mm-hmm. he put electricity in a certain part of her brain, she noticed a shadow person standing behind her shoulder.
Hmm.
As he changed the amount of electricity he was putting into her, shadow person was right next to her. And then it was sitting by her. And then it was trying to grab things out of her hand the more he increased the electric, the voltage into her head. Was the shadow person there? Well, nobody else saw it.
Mm-hmm.
But, that, of course, begs the question, was the shadow person actually there and the electricity caused her to see it? Or did the electricity cause her to hallucinate? I mean, who really knows? But it could be a lot of natural mm-hmm. things. Absolutely. And if you're someplace unfamiliar and it's night, the lights are turned off, a coat rack with a hat on it, mm-hmm. By golly, that might be a shadow person.
Mm-hmm. The one experience that I had was very similar to the sleep paralysis episode that, you described, where I woke up, or thought I was awake anyway, and was certain that somebody was in the hallway outside my room. Now, at the time, I was working as an all-night disc jockey and getting very little sleep, so I just chalked it up at the time to sleep deprivation as much as anything else. The case of the electrical stimulus to the brain, though, is interesting because essentially we are electrical beings. The neural impulses that make us think and move are essentially electricity. Yeah, chemistry has something to do with it, but also the chemistry also affects the conductivity of the electricity within us. Was there any... Did the scientist conducting the experiment ever consider or talk about the possibility that changing the electrical stimulus in the brain might have, in fact, just enhanced her perception of this being?
That was not that really taken into consideration. At all. Generally, with science, it's always a terrestrial explanation.
Yeah.
Right. Well, when I the physicist that I interviewed about, because I explained. What one of the great things about being in a college town mm-hmm. is I could sit down and have a couple beers with physicists and talk about shadow people,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of fun. But I was talking to them about, I was explaining to them the behavior of shadow people, what they look like, how people describe them, and what they did. And they said, using all accepted knowledge of physics, those things cannot exist.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys also, these two guys also hunt ghosts and very well understood the possibility that there may be shadow people, among us. But we just haven't found the right physics to explain what they are yet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if we could explain it by natural means or natural phenomenon, it wouldn't be referred to as supernatural. It's sort of
right.
Yeah, the whole point.
Exactly.
Interesting. So, they were not aware of any physical phenomena, say, aside from an imbalance of chemistry in the brain that would cause this sort of a manifestation.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I even plied them with questions about interdimensional travel, because that's one of the common explanations. And I put a poll on my blog, and I got hundreds and hundreds of respondents, and overwhelming, just the average person out there thinks they're probably interdimensional travelers.
Okay.
You know, which, to me, maybe dimensions kind of bleed over occasionally, and these people are just kind of caught in the crossfire. But when I brought up dimensional travel to the physicist, I got a bigger chuckle than anything I'd mentioned the rest of the evening.
So they laughed more about that than they did about ghosts.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
Exactly.
Now, in your book, again, you explore, and I think do a fine job of exploring from a number of different angles this question, you know, what are the shadow people, where do they come from, what do they want, and so forth. You get into the metaphysical aspects of shadow people. I mean, you say interdimensional travel, and to a scientist that may mean one thing. To a Christian like myself, that means something different. I'm not sure I want entities coming across the other dimensions until we're ready.
Right.
Until we're ready for that big final.
It's coming from.
Well, that's exactly right. I think in terms of the interdimensional travel in the movie Event Horizon with Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne. You know, where the spaceship basically comes back from another dimension and they discover, oh, that was hell. Oh. So when you talked with a number of religious scholars about shadow people, what sort of answers did you get? What explanations did you get from them?
Well, I will touch on Christianity last. Hinduism has overall the most benign explanation is that they're because I talked with people experts in Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Christianity, and American Indian shamanism, and the only one that was, you know, harmless was Hinduism, and they were reflections of bodies traveling, you know, between planes. You know, not bodies, but souls traveling between planes before reincarnation. But each one of these religions had an explanation of shadow people. They all have shadow people, something that fits the description of shadow people in their religion. With Islam, it's the jinn, which what the Western world's, you know, perverted into the word genie. You know, if I had Barbara Eden popping out of a bottle, that would be awesome, but
it doesn't work that way, sadly.
But it doesn't work that way, right? If you're a non, everybody has a jinn attached to them according to Islam, and if you're a non-Muslim, when you die, this jinn, which can appear as a human-shaped shadow, will sit on your grave and laugh at you and mock you for eternity. The Buddhists I spoke with said, we have so many wonderful things to tell you, but we don't talk about those. We're not going to talk to you about these entities. Yeah, they wouldn't tell me a thing, but they did allude to the fact that they are they're evil. they didn't want to dig into it.
Interesting.
I spoke with a couple of Cherokee gentlemen who told me that the shadow person entity is a medicine man that has used his powers for greed, for personal gain, for something evil. That medicine men in, you know, times of battle or trouble can turn themselves into different types to appear as different types of entities, but when they start using their medicine, and I'm putting quote marks around that because one of the gentlemen said that medicine's for good. It's only for good. So he hated to use the word medicine man for the people who use their powers for something that was not good. That they turn into something that translates into English as witch. They're not quite human anymore, and they will appear as these dark shadows, and they can attack people by poisoning parts of their system. A shadow person might attack you by poisoning your liver or your pancreas or your lungs. You know, you might develop lung cancer because this entity is trying to get at you. So across the board, it looks like these shadow entities are beyond a doubt negative. Now, getting to Christianity, mm-hmm. I interviewed a Catholic archbishop who has conducted a number of exorcisms. And before I described what a shadow person looked like, I didn't even talk about shadow people. I wanted to talk to him about demons.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if demons manifest themselves where a human can see them, he said, they will look like, they will be blacker than the night around them. They will look, like humans, but not exactly like humans.
Mm-hmm.
Something will be a little off because humans are created in God's image. These entities will try and mock God's image,
mm-hmm.
so therefore they cannot appear exactly as humans. Well, that's the explanation of what a shadow person looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That really hit home to me, that they're darker than the night around you and don't appear exactly as humans, because that's what I saw, and that's what every person I interviewed saw.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a shadow person entity that has blazing red eyes.
Sort of like the Balrog from Lord of the Rings, huh?
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly, but not quite so pleasant.
Yeah.
Right, and he said that these, because I mentioned those entities, and he was quiet for a little bit, and then he said, if anybody ever encounters those is most definitely demonic, and you know, try to avoid it at all cost. Mm-hmm. But that, like I said, really, really hit home, because he described, when he was describing a demon, he described a shadow person.
You know, that is interesting that an archbishop would admit to this type of entity, because it was my understanding that until recently, the Roman Catholic Church really didn't talk very openly about exorcism and the existence of these demonic entities among us. That has changed with over the last few years, with the Vatican reopening its school for exorcists. But mm-hmm. Maybe I'm mistaken. I'm not intimately familiar with the Roman Catholic Church, but I didn't think that they talked very openly about it.
Yeah, usually not. I think I got a rogue.
They've got a couple of those. Most denominations do. Now, you mentioned the red-eyed shadows, the belief by most of the world's major religions that these things are not to be trifled with. Am I getting the sense correctly that the best you can hope for when encountering a shadow person is that they just don't notice you, take no notice?
That's from my research. Absolutely, I was lucky enough to encounter shadow people who just seemed to be going from point A to point B, and either didn't notice me or didn't care to notice me at the time. The ones who do take notice of you, again, like I said, they just dredge this feeling of abject terror out of you. There have been also cases that I document in the book of people who have been touched by these, who have been physically attacked by these shadow people, and it's you know, forever left emotional scars on them.
Hmm. Now, the experience I had was an isolated incident. It only happened one time, but I can't remember any other event in my life that left me as frightened as that one incident where I woke and thought there was a shadow on the wall outside my room. Was sure that somebody was there, but I couldn't move to do anything about it. Could have been sleep paralysis. That's fine. But I've got I think some concept of the kind of fear you're talking about. How often, what percentage of these things appear to be just flat, you know, malevolent?
Oh, don't ask me to do math. I can't do that. Most of the encounters are just, like I said, chance mm-hmm. shadow, benign shadow encounters. So, I mean, I really am not going to be able to put a percentage on this, but there are enough encounters that are malevolent to where any time someone would experience one of these things, I would say run, pray, do something, because mm-hmm. none of these things, I'm convinced, are good, have good intentions at all. And even if you're encountering entities that just seem to be passing by you, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea what this thing's intentions are. I there have been a number of cases. We talk about sleep paralysis. There have been a lot of cases where people just turn the light off and were sitting on the edge of their bed when they saw these things. So there's no chance that they were asleep. I've got a number of cases where people saw them during the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
While they're sitting there watching TV in the middle of the afternoon, all of a sudden a shadow person peeks around the door. You know, so these things definitely aren't. A lot of cases they could be, but definitely aren't all the time in your head. So absolutely be on your guard if you experience something like this, because it's not after something pleasant.
Now, you, if I remember correctly, during our last conversation, didn't you tell us a story about a couple, husband and wife, moving cross-country who actually saw these shadow people on the highway as they were traveling cross country on the interstate?
Right. They were going from the Pacific Northwest to, I believe, Ohio. And the wife, her name was Lacey. I can't recall her last name. Saw these shadow people along the highway. And she said some of them were on the ground. Some were floating 6 feet above the ground, and they were ignored. They didn't pay attention to trucks or cars or hitchhikers or anybody. Or any landmarks or anything, they were just moving. She said it looked like to her to be some sort of an astral highway. These things were definitely moving with some purpose from point A to point B. One even walked through the cab of their truck and took no notice of them. And she didn't say anything for the longest time because, you know, she thought she was nuts. Until she mentioned it to her husband after he jumped when the thing went through the cab. So she knew that he saw it, and he'd been seeing them the whole time too. They'd never seen shadow people before that point, but after their move to Ohio, this has been a couple of years ago. They continue to see them occasionally now.
Now, there's one type of shadow person that you devote an entire chapter to, called the Hat Man. Or what is the Hat Man?
It's a shadow man that wears a hat. It's strange. The reason I devoted an entire chapter to this, because I'm fairly fascinated by this entity. It's generally one that I shouldn't say generally. It's always an entity that will notice you. The Hat Man is not a benign entity.
Okay.
The Hat Man sees you. You know the Hat Man's watching you. If you see it, you can see it watching you. A lot of times the Hat Man has blazing red eyes, which, again, the exorcist said, if you see this, yeah, that's not good. But one of the interesting things about this is they seem to wear a fedora, which
really
I find just completely interesting. Why not a cowboy hat? I've had one case where a guy saw a shadow entity wearing a bowler, but that could have been a ghost, because shadow entities could be ghosts also. A lot of explanations a lot of their behavior is ghost-like behavior. A lot of them isn't, but or a lot of them aren't. But sometimes, shadow people are probably just a ghost. The one with a bowler, I think, was. These entities wearing fedoras are always malevolent. They're watching you. If you notice them, they appear a little bit nervous because you saw them. They're also the type that people have described feeding off of fear that they generate inside you. So yeah, these types of entities are nothing to play with.
You ever seen the movie Dark City?
Kiefer Sutherland,
Rupert, can't remember his last name now. Rufus Sewell. John Hurt.
When it first came out.
William Hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
The description of the Hat Man reminds me somewhat of these others, these outsiders that control the people who are stuck in this city, with the exception that you can actually see their features. But aside from that, the description seems very similar in terms of the image. Are there certain people who are more susceptible, more likely to see shadow people than others?
No. I'll have to say no, because across the board I've had so many different types of people who have reported seeing these things at various ages, very small children to elderly people to people dying of cancer, to people who were at an extremely happy point in their life, to people who were at a very low point in their life, males, females, people from anywhere from the U.S. to Canada to Portugal to Australia to South Africa, people all over the globe of different backgrounds and different demographics and genetics are seeing these things. So, I mean, that's one of the other things that fascinated me about shadow people, is that it seems like every type of person everywhere can experience them.
Now, you do touch on invitations to shadows, that there are certain behaviors that may lead to these shadows beginning to visit and coming back.
Right, and this actually plays across the paranormal world, is never invite something into your life, whether it's a shadow person, which could be a demon, which could be a ghost, which could be an extraterrestrial of all things. Giving some invitation, giving something permission to come and invade your life is never a good idea. And there have been a lot of cases with people using Ouija boards who immediately have encountered shadow people, people who have conducted seances and shadow people have appeared. Again, these things might be demonic. They very well could be. Their behavior after being summoned, after being invited into their lives, surely shows that they very well could be demonic. So invitations to anything unknown is not good. They're the unwelcome house guest that doesn't like to leave.
You mentioned Ouija boards, but are there other types of behaviors that seem to lead to this sort of visitation?
Well, any dabbling in the occult is sort of an invitation. Just one guy I interviewed, he was sitting on a log in front of a bonfire or a campfire. It wasn't that big. In the middle of nowhere, it was the night before deer season. He was going to get up and hunt the next morning. And as he was sitting there, ready to go, about ready to put the fire out and go to sleep in his trailer, he said that he felt something was in the woods. And he said, if anybody else is out there, if anything's out there, please come by my fire and we'll just sit down and have a chat. And ever since that invitation, he hasn't seen shadow people, but he's had something almost turned his trailer over that night. When he walks by doors, they open before he gets a chance to touch them. Lights go on and off. He hears footsteps pounding on the walls. Nothing weird like this happened until that night when he made that open invitation.
And he didn't even, he wasn't specifically addressing it to the supernatural. It was just sort of...
No, yeah. Throwing it right out there, yeah.
Huh. Is there a way to defend yourself against these things? I mean, is there a way to get rid of these things once they start bugging you?
From the people I interviewed, I'll have to throw that out because I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. People I've talked to who have successfully fended these things off have done so with noise, not just any kind of noise, but positive noise, prayer, invoking the name of Christ. A lot of people have done, and these things have left. Singing, people have sang, and these things have left. People have just turned the radio on, and music has poured out, and they've left. People have laughed, and the shadow people have gone away. So it sounds like, if you're not afraid of these things, if you're making some positive noise, that, at least from the accounts that I've gotten, they might go away. If I encounter them, I'm absolutely praying, because you might as well bring the big guns out if you're messing with something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I recognize that shadow people, or your book, Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us, is not intended to be a Christian book. And my intention is not to draw you into a theological discussion here, but where I stand on the matter here, and my belief is that the Bible is our guidebook to the supernatural and contains the instructions therein on how to deal with situations regarding the supernatural. I mean, God's command number one is don't mess with the supernatural, because it's beyond our ability to control it on our own. But I find it fascinating that an investigation like yours, and one of the reasons that we'll watch shows on TV like Ghost Hunters, is that you don't need to approach this from a strictly theological or religious perspective to recognize that these things are out there and they exist. Would you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I didn't approach this book as anything to do really initially with theology, but I needed to address it. And as the evidence mounted, as I mounted evidence, it showed that all of these things pointed towards these things being a bad spiritual entity.
Yeah.
So there have been explanations. I mentioned ETs. There's an explanation that they're extraterrestrial. Mm-hmm. They're people who are convinced that they're just people astral projecting. I have one really scary stalking case in the book of a woman who kept experiencing a shadow person who eventually showed himself as a human, saying that, I've been watching you for a long time. We actually met once, and you're going to be mine one day. Which is scary also. So, I mean, this is really what I found. A lot of these cases could be, ghosts. They could be extraterrestrials. They're extraterrestrials, at least in the common, discussion, common paranormal discussion, or mm-hmm. tricksters, which these things could seem to be.
Sure, men
but
in black,
but again,
yeah.
It, right, and that's something that. Nick Redfern, who reviewed my book on his mm-hmm. on his blog, said, the Hat Man especially reminded him of descriptions that John Keel made of men in black,
right?
Which have been described as probably extraterrestrial in origin. So, what are these things? There are dozens of different explanations.
But the bottom line is that the best you can hope for if you see one of these things is that it doesn't notice you and just leaves you alone.
Yes.
Jason Offutt is the author of Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us. I'll put a link to his website, also to his From the Shadows blog, where once a week he will report another incident of the supernatural from somewhere around the planet. And thankfully for us, he's pulled his research together in a couple of fine books: Haunted Missouri, Ghostly Guide to the Show Me State's Most Spirited Spots, and the new book, Darkness Walks, The Shadow People Among Us, really delving into a phenomenon that a lot of people have experienced. I suspect there are a lot more people out there who don't want to talk about it than have come forward and shared their experiences with you.
Right. I think the amount of people who have experienced shadow people haven't talked to them about talked to anybody about them,
yeah,
because they're afraid of being judged for what they've seen. But that's one of the other reasons for the book is, hey, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Many other people have experienced these things.
Yeah, well worth the read. We'll be posting a review of the book at peeringintodarkness.com and watchermagazine.com. Perhaps both, one or the other, but we'll make sure that you know where the review is shortly. And, of course, where you can find the book, those links will be in the show notes as well. Jason, pleasure to talk with you again, and look forward to doing it again soon.
Hey, Derek, same. It's always a pleasure, and thanks for having me on the show.
And thank you for being with us. Comments or questions are welcome at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is A View from the Bunker.